Welcome, 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 welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey, coming to you from Kissimmee, Florida. Before I talk anything about basketball, I have to start this podcast off by wishing my beautiful, beautiful, beautiful mother, Sandra Hill, a happy birthday. I appreciate you, Mom. Everything you've done for me. Please enjoy this day. I'm sorry I can't be there with y'all to celebrate it. But you know, whenever I come back, I got you. But I want you to enjoy this day. And I love you. All right, y'all. You know, yesterday was a pretty good day. I'll be real with you. I mean, it was a good day. I covered the Utah Jazz, New Orleans Pelicans game. Rudy Gobert sank the winning foul shots with 6 seconds left. They were go-ahead ones to give them that victory. The Pelicans had a desperation shot at the end, but it didn't go in. And then earlier in the day, I wrote an article that's in today's Philadelphia Inquirer about the 76ers culture. And I know that's been something that we've been talking about for a while, but I believe that it has to change. Well, we all know that it has to change. And I asked Brett Brown a couple days about how will he go about changing it. And, you know, he said some things, but I really had to write that story because let's face it, the 76ers culture has been a culture and chemistry has been abysmal, awful, horrible, right? So typically teams with good chemistry, great chemistry win. Now you hear some teams who guys don't get along and you know, they typically find a way to do it, but typically you got to have great chemistry to win a championship. And I asked Brett Brown, how is he personally going to get these guys to come together during this playoff restart when they typically have bad chemistry all year, right? So we'll talk about that. And then, you know, there's some other things where the guys are, you know, wearing social phrases on the back of their jerseys and stuff like that. But, you know, let's talk about the 76ers, right? Now, here, like, this is where it gets tough. This is where it gets tricky for Brett Brown and the Sixers. You know, right now, I mean, we have to think back to the season. You know, right now, everyone's saying all the great things. You know, Tobias Harris is happy. He's the leader of the team. You know, Ben Simmons is getting the ball in his hands. You know, guys on the bench are getting some playing time. But I'm telling you, it's going to change. And what I mean by it's going to change is Tobias Harris isn't going to get as many touches as he got before. I'm not saying that he shouldn't. I think he should. But we know it's going to come. I mean, if you know anything about the Sixers the last couple of years or since Tobias has been here, it's like they typically, sometimes they feed them early. Late in the games, they go away from them, right? There's certain games where guys start playing equal opportunity basketball instead of feeding the ball to the horses. Now you have a guy like Joel Embiid who wants to get his touches, but then you bring in somebody from the bench who wants to take people off the dribble. You know, Ben Simmons, how is Ben Simmons going to react if they take the ball out of his hands and clutch opportunities and say, hey, go stretch the floor? You know, how is Joel Embiid going to react if Ben Simmons is dominating in the post and Joel Embiid is relegated to being a screen setter for him? You know, so my thing is, it's bound to happen. I mean, it just is. And Brett Brown has to find a way to, once it does happen, to reverse the trend a little bit. Because as good as the 76ers team is, you can look at this team and classify it as a great group of individuals. When I look at the 76ers, and it's not a knock on them, but when I look at the 76ers and I look at, I don't want to throw out a team, but I look at another team and I say, okay, now they're playing great team ball. When I look at the Sixers, I'm like, wow, they got great individual talent. I mean, Al Horford, a 5-time All-Star, but he really can't play together with Ben and Joel. So, can you say that's a great team? No. You know, Josh Richardson, oh man, he can light it up. He can do what he can. But when he's on the floor, he's like the fifth option. He has to be a defender. I mean, he loses a lot. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? So, Ben Simmons, man, you know, great guy. Great individual. He can get to the rim. But how is he going to mesh with Joel on a block? How is that going to work? So when you look at it, there's a lot of great individual, like Al Horford, 5-time All-Star. Tobias Harris, fringe All-Star. Joel Embiid, 3-time All-Star. Ben Simmons, 2-time All-Star. And the guy who I voted for as the Defensive Player of the Year. So, right then and there, you know they have talent. That's not a question. They're great individual talent. But Brown has to mesh it all together. That's something that hasn't happened, y'all. It hasn't. But he has to mesh it all together. This restart. And if he does, I'm telling you, the Sixers team will be tough to beat. Tough to beat. But if he doesn't, I can see them going out in the first round. A first round exit is crazy when you think that that's a realistic thing for the Sixers. It's not out of the question. As much talent that this team has, if they don't bring everything together, they could actually lose in the first round. I mean, a team that plays like a team that has great individual talent, Boston Celtics. Think about it. They got a lot of similar guys. But for whatever reason, they make it match, make it work. Look at the Miami Heat. You can't really say that they have a bunch of individual talent, like not on the NBA. They have a bunch of role players and Jimmy Butler. But that's a team. The Toronto Raptors. I mean, think about it. Does the Miami Heat have more talent than the Sixers individually? No. The Toronto Raptors, they got some old guys, older veteran guys, but they're young guys. They do have 2 All-Stars, and they do have Serge and Mark Gasol, so it's a little, they have a way better bench, I'll tell you that. So that's where you are. Now, last night's game, the Pelicans game, Utah Jazz. You know, I wrote something for Inquirer.com. Actually, I wrote 2 stories. One on the overall atmosphere of that game. And the second was on the players and coaches. Everyone affiliated with both teams, actually. And the referees taking the knee. It's funny. I wrote about it, and I wake up this morning, I get nasty emails about it from people upset that I wrote about it. I don't know. I guess people don't want me to do my job nowadays. I mean, I'm there to cover the event. That's part of the event. So I don't get it. You know, I have to do my job, right? That's what I'm thinking. Now, if I didn't write about it, it's like, hey, how come you didn't write about it? Well, that was my job. But to me, that was a powerful display of unity. Because when you think about it, I've never seen referees join in on something like that. I haven't. And to be honest with you, I thought it was kind of tame. I thought it was. You know, a lot of guys were saying how they were going to make social stances and they were going to do something, right? So when you say taking a knee, I mean, sometimes back in the day, people were pissed off of people taking knees. Nowadays, you're looking at it like, okay. That's pretty tame compared to what they could do. So was anybody getting upset over players taking a knee? I don't understand it, because they could have done something else. But what I will say is, it was unified. It was unified, even with the refs. Everything was unified. They came out with, as soon as it happened, the referees union came out with a statement. The Utah Jazz and Pelicans had their statements. Adam Silver was in attendance. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was in attendance, and he had a statement. So I thought that was pretty tame. And it was a great game, I'm gonna be honest with you. You know, when I first got off the bus, I hopped on a bus, came to the campus. And I was like, wow. It's funny because I walked on that campus in the same arena that we were in, the HP Fieldhouse. I remember covering Temple basketball and a Thanksgiving tournament there my first year on the Temple beat, right? And it was Thanksgiving Day. I'll never forget this. My daughter was just born. I mean, this had to be going on 10 years ago. My daughter would be 10 in October. My daughter was just born. She was like a month old. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, wow, I got to leave her to go here. So I got up that morning, and I flew down there. And I got up that morning. It's weird, man. The weirdest thing. I got up that morning. I'm not going to call it weird, but it was different. We get up that morning. We eat Thanksgiving dinner for breakfast. I get my bag, say goodbye, and I hop on a plane. I fly down there. And it was a night game, and man, I was tired as I don't know what. It was horrible. But it was at the HP Fieldhouse. And I never really paid attention to anything. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm just walking into an arena. Yesterday, I got off the bus, and it felt historic. It actually felt historic, honestly. I mean, I got off the bus. I had my camera out, taking videos, taking pictures. I mean, I felt like a tourist. Yeah. And then you go in there and everything, even when you check in with the security, all this and that, and you see all the hand sanitizer and the seating, everything was like a tourist. I mean, it was one of those things where I walked out feeling like that this is going to be one of those moments where I say, I remember when, or I was there when said happened. That's how I felt. And initially, I'm going to be honest with you. You know, you see the guys out there warming up, right? So they're warming up. And then when they come out, it's like, oh, man, they announce them. And it's like the PA guy is loud. And you're like, dude, why are you so loud? It's just them and a couple media members here. Like, you don't have to be that loud, dude. Like, yo, tone it down a little bit, homie. But they gonna run out faster because you yell their name? Like, relax, bruh, relax. That's how I felt, right? So then, before they did the national anthem, the guy stood there and it was silent as they were, you know, everyone was saying their sayings about social injustice and racism. Brett Brown was in there too, sounded very good. So I'm like, okay. And then they knelt for the national anthem. And it took it to a different level, right? And then the play, oh man, the quality of the play was good. It was a great game. I'm telling you, it was a great game. I mean, I can't argue about Zion. I wish he would have had a rebound. But other than that, he was powerful. And then Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. I mean, I'm up here reading like these dudes will never get along. Never get along. They're going to hate each other forever. It's unrepairable. I mean, if some of you guys remember, you know, Rudy Gobert was the first NBA player to test positive for COVID, and he gave it to Donovan. That's what they think. And the thing is, it was one of those things where Donovan was upset because Rudy was being careless. And that's what he was doing with the media and everything else. But I'm looking at it, and I saw one play where Rudy helped Donovan up. I'm like, okay. And then how the game ended was because Donovan had a great dish to Rudy who got fouled. And then after he makes the foul set, Donovan walks up to him, like after a break, and they're back on the court, the last possession, and had like his arms up, like flexing and congratulating him. That was great to see. I mean, it was. Here you go. You have two all-stars on the team. Two guys who are the focal point of that team. And everyone's saying they can't get along. They will never get along. And what people say is basketball brings people together. Now, who knows? Maybe they would have, like, picked up the phone one day and said, hey, look, man, we were friends, like, if they didn't play. But when you're out there and you're a teammate with someone, you bring it back together again. That bond grows again. And I don't know how they feel about it. They may downplay it. They may say, hey, we're just playing basketball. But I'm just going to admit that was good for me to see. It was good for me to see. Because I know how they were before, how I heard. And, you know, it was just good for me to see. I mean, I'm not going to lie about that. It was great. You know, so my thing is, when we talk about guys, we all know, like, okay, on both teams, every player that was at there had a social justice phrase on the back of their jerseys last night. I'm talking about the Pelicans and the Jazz. It was good. Now, the Sixers have 15 guys, 16 guys down there. No, 15. And six of them say they're going to wear a phrase in the back of their jerseys. Alex Burks is going to wear enough. Furkan Korkmaz is going to wear equality. Raul Neto, equality. Kyle O'Quinn is going to wear hear us. Josh Richardson, say their names. And Matisse Thybulle, vote, right? Now, there are going to be some guys who didn't want to wear it, like Mike Scott, for instance. And it's not because they're not down with the cause, so don't think that. It's just that they wanted, like, the NBA gave a list of names to choose from. They wanted their own names, right? That's what they wanted. They wanted their own names. They did not want a list. They wanted to do it their way. And so some players around the league have decided not to wear it because of that, right? But when you talk about Matisse, vote. I mean, this guy has always, once the marches came out, was always out there with a sign telling people to vote, telling them to vote, telling them to vote. So for him to say vote, to me, it is very powerful for this young man who's an activist, who does everything for people. I mean, special guy. And he talked about his father Greg, right? His father grew up in Haiti. Well, he was born in Haiti. And at a young age, he was forced to leave the country. So he moved to New York. I believe his father was born in New York. All I know is one of his siblings were born in New York. Like, they were New York, and then they went to Haiti, and then they were forced out. They were forced out. But this is what Batiste said about why he's wearing vote. My dad was born and raised in Haiti, and as he grew up there, they had a dictator, and there is something that not a lot of people in the U.S. are aware of or understand the reality of, and to be raised with that perspective and understand and appreciate what it means to vote and to be a part of a democracy where your opinion matters. It is taken for granted. I think a lot of it is something I am passionate about and my family is passionate about, and I think a lot of other players are as well, and just trying to educate people, right? Now, Josh Richardson has Say Their Names on the back, we'll have that on the back of his jersey. And this is what Josh said about that. Just because there are so many instances of things that have happened, and I'm just trying to be a vessel for this movement that's finally happening. You can go down a list. Breonna Taylor is at the forefront. George Floyd, Michael Brown. On a smaller scale from where I am from, a kid named Isaiah Lewis was killed by police unarmed. Now, Josh is from Oklahoma. He's from Oklahoma City, right? And to me, there are too many instances of it happening. So I'm just trying to bring awareness, keep being a vessel for what's happening, and hopefully people pick up on the message. I think they will. I do. I think they will. And I think that people shouldn't pick up on the message when you see so many people not wearing them on this team, because some don't. Now, again, it's great when you see everyone from the Pelicans wearing it, and everyone from the Utah Jazz wearing it. That's great. But there's a lot of people who aren't going to do it. I shouldn't say, I mean, not aren't going to do it, but some people just don't like the messaging that they had. So, look, y'all, I got to hurry up and get out of here. Today's Friday, so I have to take this test. I got to go take my COVID-19 test. So, I want to be the first one there. I'm like one of those guys, so I'm going to try to hurry up and get a quick shower, get out of here, and then come back, get something to eat, and get my day started. I want to thank y'all for listening. I appreciate y'all, and have a blessed day. Peace.